Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Can't win them all. Got to score more than two runs to win them all, though, too. Brewers fall 4-2 in game one of a four-game series against the Pirates. I will say, though, Jared Jones, that was some electric stuff from the rookie. We'll talk plenty about his outing today. Joe Ross was great. I have some thoughts about when they pulled him, but we can break down both sides of that argument. Brewers defense had a moment of weakness in that sixth inning. The sixth inning overall was where the game obviously turned. But today's game also had a lot of other headlines around it, too, off the field for the Brewers, and all of them, of course, having to do with injuries. We'll jump into those here in the first segment. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the phone number if you want to call or text into the program. First and foremost, more bad news for the Brewers pitching staff of the guys that were active. Wade Miley, placed on the injured list due to what has been described as left elbow inflammation. And he said, talking to the media today, that the pain and the discomfort has been in a different region than he normally has had. He's actually had some loose bodies in his elbow in the last year. He's had bone spurs in the past. He's been dealing with that pain, really, for multiple years now, multiple seasons. But this pain had him worried. I mean, openly worried. I encourage you to go to Kurt Hoag's Twitter. And he spoke very candidly about his fear for this injury. They're going to get imaging done tomorrow and reassess from there. But you talk to any pitcher about the elbow, they're always going to go to the worst-case scenario. That's just the way today's game is. And, you know, this is not a joke, but in all seriousness, Wade Miley's age and how close he was to even retiring last season. And, you know, if you're staring at another lengthy rehab, he turns 38 in November. Yeah, I just really hope that it's all going to work out for Wade Miley. So that's huge news for him. The Brewers recalled Tobias Myers to bring him up from AAA. And you may be wondering, well, why not Aaron Ashby yet? That's a good question. Maybe they're saving him in their back pocket. This whole segment, we're going to talk about what the pitching is going to be doing. So Tobias Myers, the Brewers did not commit, including Pat Murphy, even after today's game, has not committed to a starter for tomorrow against the Pirates. I would imagine it's going to be Tobias, and it would give Bryce Wilson, you would hope, another day of rest. And Thiago Vieira delivering an inning plus of work today was really, really important. But let's say Tobias Myers goes tomorrow for the Brewers. He last threw 4 days ago in AAA. He only threw two innings in that game. His last start was 10 days ago. So he should be pretty fresh and be ready to go. And he's been stretched out to into the sixth inning in AAA this year. So you should be able to get a normal amount of use out of him if he is the man tomorrow. I'm assuming he's going to be the man tomorrow. And the other bad news we got today was Jacob Junis, while running wind sprints in the outfield during Pirates batting practice. This happens literally every game across the country. The opposing team warms up while the home team hits batting practice, and he's doing his sprints, doing some cardio, and a line drive hits him in the back of the neck, and he goes down immediately treated. Luckily, the Brewers statement was very quick, saying he was alert and responsive, always maintained consciousness. He was taken to the hospital for evaluation. And we have not heard another update from Junis. Now, Junis was obviously already on the injured list. He has been working his way back from shoulder impingement. He had been throwing flat grounds. I think he was past 75 feet now. I'm sure he was due to get off of a mound, hopefully by the end of the week, and then maybe could start scheduling a rehab assignment maybe in the next couple of weeks for him to get down to Nashville. So that sounds like it might be on hold for now. We'll have to wait on a day for Jacob Junis. All of that being said, you've got three straight TBAs coming up the next 3 days for the starters for the Brewers. If I had to guess, it would be Tobias Myers tomorrow. Then you'd go with maybe Bryce Wilson on Wednesday after he threw over 50 pitches last Wednesday, and he threw over the weekend on Saturday against the Cardinals as well. So give him an extra day to get ready to go. Maybe you recall Aaron Ashby on Thursday. You would need to make a corresponding move for that to happen. You can recall Ashby on Thursday, given it will be past 2 weeks since he was optioned to AAA. You have to spend 15 days down unless you're making an injury replacement. Ashby would go on Thursday because I imagine the fact that they haven't announced Freddy Peralta on Thursday means that Freddy's going to go on Friday against the Yankees and give him that extra day of rest as opposed to jumping him ahead like they did last week after the off day, have him pitch on 5 days rest as opposed to 4 days rest. They're going to be very careful with Freddy, especially now. You have no DL Hall. You have no Wade Miley. Junis was already out. And furthermore, you're going to rely on a rookie in Tobias Myers. You're going to have a swingman turned bulk man in Bryce Wilson. Then obviously your three traditional guys are Peralta, Ray, and Ross. And Joe Ross today, I thought, pitched very, very well. We're going to break down that decision coming up in a little bit with Craig Kishon. But let me get to a couple of the texts here. Maybe it's me, but I find myself with a different outlook when the Brewers are trailing this season. Some missed opportunities and a miscue did them in tonight, but it really feels like they haven't been out of a game so far. The pitching situation is getting tedious. How do you look at the next few games in the next days? That's from Josh in Milwaukee. So that's my view of it. Tobias, in my opinion, would go tomorrow. Bryce Wilson would go on Wednesday. Either Ashby called up or a bullpen game on Thursday. And then Freddy Peralta takes the ball on Friday against the Yankees. That's how I see it. But, you know, I don't make these decisions. These are all to be figured out for the higher-ups. Real quick about today's game, right? I know the three unearned runs certainly leave a sour taste in your mouth. But scoring just two runs, both of them off the bat of Rhys Hoskins, a solo homer and an RBI groundout, just isn't going to get the job done. With all that being said, though, you had to admire and tip your cap to what Jared Jones did today. Man, sitting in 100 miles an hour in the first inning, obviously that tapered off throughout the game, but he matched the whiff record for the Pirates in the pitch tracking era. 25 swings and misses. Holy cow. He also is 22 years old. He was one shy of the pitch tracking era record for an age 22 or younger pitcher. One shy of Jose Fernandez back in the day with the Marlins. So he had himself a performance of all performances. He set a record that's been standing for like 120 years, where each of his first four starts had been at least seven strikeouts, and Jared Jones was fantastic. Rhys Hoskins did get him, though. That's one of our three most important plays as we get ready to head to the break here. Rhys Hoskins going yard to tie the game at one in the fifth.
3-1. High fly ball out to left. Racing back is Sawinski onto the track at the wall. We are tied. Rhys Hoskins goes deep. It's his fifth of the year, and it's a 1-1 ball game here in Pittsburgh.
But really the biggest play of the game was Jake Bowers in the sixth inning. Hobie Miller came in. We'll break down the decision to bring in Hobie in the sixth inning. But at this point, you got runners at first and second, one out. Left on left, Jack Sawinski at the plate, and a huge play to say the least.
And first pitch swinging, it's a ground ball. Bowers fields, and the shuffle pass to Milner gets away. It's off the facing of the Brewers' dugout. Around third is Brian Hayes to score.
That was huge because that gave it a 2-1 lead on what should have been the second out of the inning. In the worst case, you know, you have runners on second and third and two outs. Instead, it's an error, and you've got runners on the corners with one out. Taylor grounded out in front of the plate, and then O'Neill Cruz just hit a little stoink bloop into left to score two more runs. Of course, two runs scoring after an error with two outs makes them unearned. So a three unearned runs in that sixth inning. That's what this is what the single sounded like.
1-0 pitch. Cruz, liner into left. That's going to get down for a base hit. Joe is in. Around third is Sawinski. He's going to score. The Pirates have played it three in this inning, and they lead it 4-1.
Those are the three most important plays from this game. 4-2 is the final score. Plenty more to break down from this one. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making, all the capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Take a breather, come back with more. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a little bit. I'm Dom Catronio. Stay with us. This is WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers fall 4-2 tonight. And this one was a weird one. So let's start diving into what made Jared Jones so great, and then we'll get into what made Joe Ross so great today, and then that decision in the sixth. Craig Kishon's going to join us momentarily as well. But let me just start with Jared Jones. He's a top 100 prospect. This isn't like some guy off the street. This isn't some guy that nobody's heard of. 22 years old. He's made some mechanical adjustments this past offseason. Some scouts had said in the past that he really loses his velo drastically in the minor leagues, and he's made an adjustment now to maintain a little bit better an average at that 97 mark. Yes, I know we were seeing triple digits in the first inning, but that didn't really stick around, obviously. But the fact that he was sitting at 97, scouts said in the past he would fall down to 94s and 93s. So he maintained his velocity today. He was fantastic. The slider was great. He threw a few curveballs too, but he really did it with two pitchers. It was like a young Spencer Strider out there. I mean, just here it is, hit it, do your best. And you've heard me talk about fastball ride a lot. He has an elite fastball rise rate, just like kind of Freddie Peralta's. In fact, I dove a little bit deeper when it came to Jared Jones and Freddie Peralta. Jones is 6'1". Freddie is 6 foot flat. They have almost an identical extension, meaning how far they're separating themselves from the rubber to the plate and how harder it is perceived to throw at you. We know Freddie can mix it up between 94 and 97. He even popped a couple of 98s against the Cardinals. Whereas you saw what Jones was doing. He was sitting 97, 98. A little bit young velo. You know, he's got a lot going on there. And the slider is really darn good. It's tight. It's small. He throws it for a strike. He has tremendous command on it. I think Freddie obviously has more weapons, but Jones has the straight gas velo. And he was certainly impressive, to say the least, today. And Rhys Hoskins, he got ahead 3-0, took a pitch that was borderline for a strike, said, all right, 3-1, I still got leverage, got a fastball, didn't miss it, 413 feet. But quite frankly, that was only the only mistake that Jones made today, and I thought it was a huge moment in the sixth inning as we start breaking down everything that went down in the sixth. It's a 1-1 game in the top of the sixth inning, one out, single by Contreras. They're starting to get to Jones now. Willie flies out to left. He just missed it off the end of the bat. He cranked it, but he flies out. So two outs. Then Bauer slaps a double the other way, all with two strikes. That puts runners on second and third. Hoskins comes up again. They kind of pitch around him. He never got the bat off his shoulder. A lot of really borderline pitches. Worked it from 1-2 to a full count. Draws the walk. So they load the bases for Perkins. And Perkins finally was human today, going 0-for-3 with a walk, including bouncing back to the pitcher Jones, which would be the last batter that he faced in the sixth inning. Bottom of the sixth inning, Ross has had a couple of quick innings to his belt, which was really important for him. As he entered the sixth inning, he had 70 pitches. Then he gets the first guy to ground out. That's Brian Reynolds. Then Key Brian Hayes hits a hard grounder toward third, backhanded deep in the hole by Ortiz. Throws off balance, trying to rush it because Hayes runs well. Unable to make the play. It's an infield hit. I know it was initially ruled an error, but they fixed that properly, so it's an infield hit. Then we see Pat Murphy come out. Pat Murphy decides to make the change. You got a pair of lefties due up in Telez and Sawinski, and then Cruz due up two batters after Sawinski. So he wanted to go to the lefty, Hobie Milner. And he just said, I was listening to his post-game presser, that you know he knew that they were going to switch out Connor Joe for one of those lefties. He didn't know if it would be for Telez or for Sawinski. They end up going to Connor Joe immediately against Hobie Milner. Why is that significant? Connor Joe has been arguably the best Pirates hitter this season. And Joe is a guy that, obviously right-handed, you have to pick your poison if you're Pat Murphy of what you're thinking about. Would I rather have Joe Ross approaching 80 pitches face Rowdy Tellez for a third time, or do I want Hobie Milner to likely face Joe Ross? In judging by my Twitter mentions, as I welcome in Craig Kishon, judging by my Twitter mentions here, Craig, it was both sides were like okay with it. So I feel like it's right down the middle. And Hobie, to his credit, yes, he gave up the single to Joe, but he got the ground ball he needed to the next batter, Sawinski, and that ball was botched by Bowers. The next batter is retired on a little nubber in front of the plate, so that should have ended the inning in theory. This onus isn't on Murphy or Hobie, perhaps, but rather on Bauer's error in the sixth.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't seen a lot of errors right now or the defense really play such a high outcome in many games this year. Maybe it hasn't been the cleanest defense all the way through. They've done a pretty good job. They've made some big plays. But that type of play, you know, somehow just needs to be made. And sometimes it's those, you know, plays that don't appear big at the time, but man, you just open up everything. And, you know, now all of a sudden you got, you're pitching differently. Now all of a sudden you're using guys differently. And, that particular, situation really just seemed to throw everything off. One of the few times it's really been thrown off this year.
I imagine we would have seen, if they kept that inning scoreless, right, and they kept it a 1-1 game, I imagine Milner would have come back out for O'Neill Cruz. Then he would have been done, probably would have seen like a Trevor McGill or an Abner Uribe. But yet, you know, the rest of that leverage bullpen, Peguero threw on Sunday. Piams has thrown in three of the last five, so I don't know if he was going to be available today. Even Milner, that was his third in the last four games. This is where the other side of the fence of like, okay, I get it, bring in Hobie and you got the lefties and they can only pinch hit for one of them. But the other side of the fence is, well, wait a minute, you don't know who's starting for you the next 3 days. You've got a guy who's pitching very, very well. It's not his fault his offense has only scored one run. Why not let it ride? But Pat Murphy after the game saying, we know our guy, we know his pitch count. He was at 80. He hasn't thrown more than 87 so far this season. So this is an example that I chalk it to. Maybe the Brewers know something that you and I don't know, even though in the moment I was perplexed. Why bring out Joe Ross at 79 pitches?
Well, I think, you know, we've talked about this a little bit. I really think this bullpen is being managed differently, but I think it goes back to their offseason strategy, you know, with preparing for this year. I just think, you know, guys are pitching more because once they're called upon to come in a game, they're not just in there for three batters or in there for one inning specifically or in there for an inning to start. They're coming in a lot more this season in the middle of innings, you know, to face guys and get out, and then they're jumping right back out there the next inning and starting that inning as well and potentially finishing. So it's the whole, you know, the multi-inning thing for me, top to bottom, with this pitching staff is just not something we're used to seeing. And so, you know, part of that inside strategy and you know, internal figuring is a potential twist in game plan and preparation and what they've adjusted to over the last couple of years and where they're going with their staff and the guys that they have aboard here right now. So I think all that has played in. I think it's a little difficult for us in the first month of the baseball season to pinpoint exactly how things should be going when they've obviously had something going on for months before this that they've adjusted and changed their game plan a little bit by how they're using these guys. Now, when Devin Williams comes back, I certainly would not expect him to pitch the eighth and ninth inning. Maybe on occasion if he's that healthy and ready to go. But I think everybody else is just, you know, has to be in that spot right now. And we may think they're overtaxed or overused. And, you know, so far the Brewers haven't. So I don't think they want to, you know, wear guys out because they're not aware of it. Let's just put it that way.
I agree. And in that similar vein, talking about being careful with Devin, I think we're really quick to forget Joe Ross hasn't pitched in the big league since 2021, and it's because of health, not because of performance. And kind of like how we remind ourselves about Rhys Hoskins has missed an entire year of baseball at first base, Joe Ross has not had these juices flowing in a long time for him. So, again, I understand the eye says 79 pitches, like, why bring him out? And openly, I was like, man, I tweeted, like, I'm a little perplexed. But now I'm sitting here and listening to what Pat Murphy had to say, understanding the situation that they were faced. You know what would have made this a lot easier is if the Brewers were up like 4-1 maybe. But at the same time, I get it. It's April. Now you really need to make sure your three traditional healthy starters stay healthy. And Joe Ross has not had a clean bill of health the last few years. So in the end, I could have one foot in both boxes, if you will. And being like, I would have liked to see him go longer, but at the same time, like, got to keep him healthy given the news you got today with Wade Miley and all that sort of thing. But on a brighter note, I mean, Joe Ross was awesome today. Aside from the leadoff home run from Andrew McCutchen, 17 whiffs, the slider looked great. What another great move by the Brewers to bring in a guy, and they might have put their secret touch on him again.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. And I think right now you know, from what I've seen from Joe Ross's first start to his last couple, you know, he is becoming a little more efficient. Yes, the pitch count isn't big, but I mean, he's getting you to those middle innings, and he's doing a really good job of keeping you in the game. It's a very similar kind of blueprint or storyline to what Colin Ray's been able to do. And I think they're both obviously at the point where, you know, the Brewers can count on him here at this point. But I mean, Ross still has a little bit ways to go. If he can just become a little more, you know, efficient with his pitches and not, you know, rack up that pitch count almost for no reason. But I think that's, you know, those are the little things that they're working on. That's what you work on between starts. And I think we're already seeing improvements in that as we go along. So, you know, look, they're kind of in a world of hurt now. This Wade Miley stuff was, you know, kind of eye-popping news here today, and potentially what his future holds. We're not going to know for the next day or two, because he's already talking about if it's serious, you know, with the elbow or whatever, that he may not pitch again. We don't know where this one's going yet, but it seems to me they got to get some guys healthy here in a hurry, and some guys got to, you know, make a bigger leap to, you know, sustaining their major league careers here right now.
It's going to be a really important MRI reading tomorrow for Wade Miley, not just for the Brewers, but for his future as a big leaguer. A lot to figure out in that regard. Again, TBA tomorrow, TBA Wednesday, TBA Thursday. It's going to be one of those weeks here for the Brewers. We're going to shift gears, talk a little offense, talk a little bit about what's going on without Christian Yelich. Remember, this offense has kind of hit a roadblock, but sort of expected without their star left fielder. That's coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Petronio. Brewers fall 4-2 tonight in game one of a four-game set against the Padres. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, you can save up to $1,500 off Central Air Systems through June 15th. You can book your appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. That's Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. First and foremost, let me hit you with some numbers here, Craig Kishon. As you know, that's what I like to do. The Brewers without Christian Yelich. This goes back to last Saturday, of course, after the game that he was pulled from on Friday night against the Orioles. As a team, the Brewers have now scored 40 runs over their last nine games, which doesn't sound terrible. That's averaging a little over four runs per game. But then you remember 11 of those runs came in one game that Saturday against the Orioles. So when you adjust that timeline to the Sunday to today, so the last eight games, the Brewers have only scored 29 runs over their last eight games, which brings them below four runs per game, which, as we know, is the magic number for the Brewers. And furthermore, one last note, their slugging is barely over 350 over this last week, which is below league average. And it's a team that, without Christian Yelich, this lineup looks a whole lot different than it did in the first 2 weeks.
And that's what we feared, I think, with Yelich's injury. He was playing at such a high level before he went out. But it's, you know, what he does becomes contagious. And there are better hitters in this lineup this year that have surrounded him. There are better hitters in this lineup this year, even without Christian Yelich in there, as we've seen, that have done a pretty good job. But, you know, this team was hot for a while. I really feel like this is a team that's, you know, going to go through its streaks and its times rather than just being kind of dormant and quiet that we've seen the last couple of years, you know, as a whole. So, you know, the habits are better, you know, the work ethic it certainly has paid off. They're more experienced. So those are interesting numbers. It doesn't really seem like it, to be honest with you. I mean, especially after that game against St. Louis on Saturday, and as well as these games have been pitched by Brewer pitchers in the last, you know, 5 days, week or so, just not giving up much and winning some low scoring games. You just overlook, you know, not, you know, kind of surviving without Christian Yelich. So hopefully this doesn't have to last too much longer, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, on that note, Kurt Hoge asked Pat Murphy about that today in the manager's session, and it said, he asked, how far off is Yelich right now? Quote from Pat Murphy, not sure, seems like he's progressing. You're depressing me with all of this injury talk. And then Kurt, after a chuckle, responds, so is there an anticipated date? And he says, I'm hopeful, glass half full, glass half full. I mean, I know they're on the road right now, and what we see is the same thing as a fan scene, what we hear from Sophia and from Kurt and from Adam and from everything like that. But look, quite frankly, we haven't heard about him getting in the cage. We haven't heard about him resuming baseball activities. So I'm not exactly holding my breath like this is going to happen anytime soon. So this unit that it is right now is going to have to be the unit here, at least probably through the end of the month, maybe even into May.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, you have to look at a couple of these guys, too. You know, Jake Bowers doesn't have a ton of big league experience, and you know, they need him at times. Rhys Hoskins is still trying to get everything back. Now, he's got 5 home runs and 14 RBIs now, but his batting average is just hovering a little bit above 200 here right now. You'd hope to get more out of Rhys here before too long. And, you know, Jackson Churio, I think you have to live with the ups and downs if you're going to let this guy develop, and he's never seen anything much above double A until this year. We all know his storyline, and you're still trying to work some of the young guys in there. Joey Ortiz and Sal Frelick's going to be up and down here a little bit too. You know, William Contreras also deserves some time where he's just going to cool off a little bit. Maybe we've seen that over the last couple of days too. So, yeah, I mean, these guys are capable of doing more, and I think, you know, the more they realize what's going on, and if they can just kind of settle in a little bit and understand, you know, it might be life without Christian Yelich a little bit longer. I Dom was a little bit worried when he went down, just from listening to Christian talk about kind of the unknown about this particular injury and not being quite the same of what he's gone through in the past, especially, you know, when you have a back that goes in and out, you know when it's obviously out, but you also know when it's starting to come back for you. And it seems up until now, and this is a great length of time you're talking about, things aren't progressing nearly what they were hoping for.
This is certainly what's going to be coming for the Brewers when it comes to, hey, reinforcements are on the way. Unfortunately for Yelich, you just don't have a date for that for him to get back on track. Just going down the box score here real quick with you. Not much to write home about aside from Rhys Hoskins. Willie Adames hit the ball hard a couple of times. Nothing to show for it. Contreras got another hit and a run scored. He reached base twice. Jake Bowers had the slap double, but he was pulled. Crazy eighth inning. They had an opportunity with the bases loaded and then only one out. Only managed to score one run, but the bottom third of the order, an infield hit from Churio, and a clean single by Ortiz, but not much to write home about from the offense today. You know what? That happens sometimes. And as in the words of Angels manager Ron Washington, that the way baseball go, right?
That's right, exactly. Hey, only 5 hits today. They drew some walks, but it was a quiet day. They went up against a really good young pitcher in Jones. I know you already talked about, you know, what he's accomplished here today, the Brewers facing him for the first time. And guess what? They're going to see him, unfortunately, probably plenty more here before the season's up. But yeah, I mean, it was quiet, but I'm telling you, you know, Pat Murphy mentioned this in his post game. It is alarming how close these games have been that go deep, where either the Brewers are winning and hanging on, or, you know, it's the opposite way, and they're losing, you know, a close game like this. So the entertainment continues for me. I mean, this is still a fun group to watch. There's a lot of in-game decisions. There's a lot of positive still from, you know, the bullpen here right now. And keep knocking on wood and crossing your fingers that continues for them.
It's going to be a fun week, I think. I think the Pirates are better than people realize. And got to keep an eye on those feisty young Pirates. Well, we'll let you go, Craig Kishon. Not much else to write home about today in a 4-2 loss, so we'll chat with you more this week. I know all eyes will be on the Bucks tomorrow, but you'll be with us once again as well. Thanks, Craig.
All right, pal. See you soon.
All right, take a breather. We'll come back with more after this here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A quick look around as the Brewers fall 4-2 tonight. Let's take a peek at the rest of the Central and the scoreboard here in this segment. Not much else to write home about today. I mean, just, hey, you chalk it up. Offense was cold. Starting pitching was pretty good, and one error was the difference of the game. And chalk it up, get back after it tomorrow with the undefeated TBA on the mound. So, you know, that to-be-decided guy, he's a really tough cookie to crack. Looking around the league, breaking news out in St. Louis as they just went on a walk-off over the Diamondbacks. They came back from down 3-0, score 5 unanswered. A two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth, a walk-off for Nolan Gorman off of Kyle Nelson. So Cardinals trying to get some mojo back. Reds got shut out by the Phillies at home today, 7-0. That game was a masterclass from Ranger Suarez. 7 shutout frames, only allowed 2 hits. He had 5 strikeouts. Hunter Green didn't pitch bad either. He worked 7 innings, but allowed 4 runs and took the tough loss in this one. Elsewhere in the Central, of course, these Brewers and Pirates. So, and then the Cubs were idle today, so no game for them on this Monday. Day game out in the Bronx today was a wacky finish. A 2-0 win for the Oakland A's. It was scoreless entering the ninth inning when Victor Gonzalez gave up a 2-run homer to Zach Geloff. Did not get an out, faced 3 batters, and gave up the home run in the top of the ninth inning. Old friend Lucas Urseg gets the win, his first of the 2024 season. Yep, that Lucas Urseg, the early round pick, third baseman, now turned pitcher, of course, with the A's, and the world was introduced to Mason Miller, the closer for Oakland. He struck out the side against Anthony Volpe, Juan Soto, and Aaron Judge, touching 103 miles an hour. That was some serious electricity. Tigers beat the Rays 7-1 down at the Trop. Braves shut out the Marlins 3-0. Blue Jays over the Royals 5-3 in Kauffman Stadium. The Twins blanked the White Sox. The White Sox are 3-19. Whew, yikes. A couple of games in action right now. Orioles leading 2-0 over the Angels, and rumors swirling that they are calling up another one of their baby birds, another one of their top prospects. Heston Kerstad is due up, former Arkansas star, is due up to join them maybe tomorrow in Anaheim. Giants leading the Mets in San Francisco 2-0 in the bottom of the second, and all square in the bottom of the seventh, Rockies hosting the Padres. That game is 1-1. Our game was a 4-2 loss for the Brewers. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. That's coming up next here on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Now, more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
All right, it's a loss tonight. Some decisions that were made. We've broken down a few of them from Pat Murphy. Let's talk here from the manager, Pat Murphy, after a 4-2 loss. Game one of this four-game set with the Pirates. Here's Murph from the City of the Bridges.
Murph, what can you say about, you know, Joe today and the length that he gave you?
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, Joe Ross is, you know, doing this in the major leagues for the first time in a while, and he's been great. He's been great. He competed his tail off today and gave us a chance, and we just made an unfortunate error there that is very unlikely. That kid's a tremendous first baseman. Very unlike him. But anyways, that opened the game up. But, you know, it was unfortunate that Joe didn't get credit for more because he was really good. And right around 80 pitches, that's when his stuff has changed a little bit. But with the lefties coming up, I knew they'd switch out at least one of them. But, yeah, that was unfortunate.
See on that play from Jake, do you think he would just rushed it a bit?
No, he doesn't usually shovel the ball like that. You know, he turns and had plenty of time to flip. Had plenty of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just unusual. Really unusual.
You mentioned the decision to pull him. He was going pretty well up to that point. How much does that factor into it, like how well he's looked?
Of course it does. But again, when he reaches a certain mark, we know the guy. We know what his workload is. And, yeah, it was pretty standard. And that was this the guys that were in there coming up to hit, you know, with this stuff starting to flatten out a little bit, you take them out for those lefties.
Is some of the movement looking different?
Yeah.
Sinker?
given where the rotation's at, how big was it for Thiago Vieira to be able to cover as many innings as
he did have those chances? Yeah, that's crucial to be able to do that, and held it right there where we had a chance again. We've played 21 games this year. We've had the winning run on base or at the plate in every game, I think every game we've played, win or lose. So that's pretty cool. The guys compete.
What were your impressions of Jared Jones
today? He's great. Fantastic. As good an arm as I've seen. As good a command of the other stuff. I mean, there's not too many. We've seen some great ones this year already. And Cease was great against us. And Musgrove had a great game against us. We've seen Corbin Burns. We've seen that kid. Wow.
He was able to leave them loaded in the sixth there, and then Stratton, same thing in the eighth after Chapman walks them loaded. Just a little bit disappointing not being able to get that big hit in those situations.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the game. You know, they credit the pitchers, too. You know, credit that kid Jones, man. That kid was, he was electric. And we didn't get the big hit at the big time, but we did hit some balls hard that got caught and whatever. But, you know, credit to their pitchers.
Is it Myers tomorrow?
Still TBA. Yeah, Myers is here, and he can obviously pitch tomorrow, but we've got some decisions to make on that.
Not to hammer this Ross decision too much, but given the state of the bullpen and, like, you know, three straight TBAs coming up, does that factor in the decision at all, like trying to squeeze anything more out of him?
No. It's always what's best for the pitcher. You know, squeezing more out of somebody this early in the season isn't what we like to do, so that's why most relievers get a day. Not too many back-to-backs. When they are, they're both short. We've got a little bit of a strategy in what we can do, and when you come up short, even though you had the runners in scoring position and you had chances to go ahead, and you face a pitcher like we face tonight, sometimes it looks a little more like, well, we could have done this or we could have done that.
I really like that last answer there from Pat Murphy about, hey, yes, I understand, like, it's give and take, like, what you could have done this, could have done that, and we'll always be sitting here playing a second-guess game. But, I mean, even if Joe Ross got that ground ball to first and Bowers makes that error, then what do you do? So I get it. I appreciate the questions that were asked and Murph answering them. You know, that's what we're here for, right? There are a couple of highlights to play. Those are going to come up next right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
You know, not a traditional highlight segment when you only score two runs and one of them was with the home run, you lose 4-2. One of the highlights of the game easily came in the fifth inning. Rhys Hoskins, he's quietly starting to heat up, y'all. He had a great weekend against St. Louis. Maybe the start of good things to come here in Pittsburgh. Here's him in the fifth.
3-1. High fly ball out to left. Racing back is Sawinski onto the track at the wall. We are tied! Rhys Hoskins goes deep. It's his fifth of the year, and it's a 1-1 ball game here in Pittsburgh.
A big swing from Rhys, a big call from Lane Grindle as well. But we talked about the sixth inning a little bit in our three biggest plays segment earlier, so I won't make you relive that tough inning. But one of the highlights, in my opinion, from this game is getting to watch Thiago Vieira pitch. That man throws with so much joy. It is infectious. It is maybe to some unprofessional. I disagree. Get off my lawn. Have some fun. How about Thiago Rivera getting out of a jam in the seventh?
Thiago coming set at the belt. The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He blew him away. Elevated 98-mile-an-hour heat. And Vieira does get himself out of the jam.
You know, I had a conversation with Thiago in the clubhouse the other day at American Family Field. And that was after, you know, when the Brewers were down big and he struck out Manny Machado and he did his, you know, big spin and fist pump and just walked back to the dugout. And I tweeted the screenshot of Manny Machado looking at him like, what are you doing, man? And I talked to Thiago about that, if he had seen it. He said, yeah, I saw it. But, like, look, if anybody ever gets mad at me, I hope they realize I'm just doing it for myself. And I'm never doing it at the hitter. I'm doing it for myself, and I'm going straight to the dugout. I'm not doing anything. I'm not staring at anybody. I'm never going to be that guy. It's just in my blood. I'm Brazilian. We go nuts for everything. And, of course, Pat Murphy's nickname for Thiago, Pele. And he played soccer when he was younger, too. And so that made me chuckle. I always love seeing him make plays. And then, you know, not really any other highlights aside from that. Andrew McCutchen hit a leadoff homer today for home run number 301 in his career, his 23rd career leadoff home run. The Brewers' other run came on a ground out, so it's like, yeah, one of those weird days. He only had five hits. Jared Jones, I tip my cap, man. That was some disgusting stuff today. He pitched so well for the Pirates. And tomorrow, it'll be Bailey Falter, a left-hander going. Yes, a lefty. A lefty is finally facing the Brewers. The Brewers haven't seen a southpaw since opening day. Jose Quintana, 20 games ago. So they'll finally see another southpaw. I imagine we'll see a new-look lineup, and we still don't know who will be on the mound tomorrow. So that's to be figured out. We'll take our last break, come back, talk a little bit about what's to come tomorrow and for the rest of the week, and try to speculate out this pitching staff one more time here on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Fitting. Mac Miller playing the Pirates, Pittsburgh. Just saying. I actually tweeted that at the start of the game. If you've been listening to me for the last few years, you know I'm a big music fan, and specifically Mac Miller was one of my favorites. And noticed that Jared Jones, his entrance music was Blue World by Mac Miller, which is one of my favorite tunes from him. And I wanted to say it, but I didn't. I should have said it. I said, you know, in my head I thought, you know, Jared Jones enters to Blue World and it's already 1-0 Pirates, but then little did we know it was going to be 1-0 Pirates in the bottom of the first inning just because of his song choice. That's been a cool little tradition now. Some guys have been picking Mac Miller, obviously, being in Pittsburgh, homegrown. Like, I think of, some guys will pick, like, New York hip-hop. I think Judge had some Beastie Boys for a while when he first came up with the Yankees. You know, you kind of played to the local crowd, right? I don't think anybody's going to walk out to Roll Out the Barrel anytime soon, but that's kind of stuff that I enjoy to make it light after a 4-2 loss against the Pirates. So, again, TBA, don't know for sure. If we had to speculate, if we had to guess, I would imagine it's Tobias Myers tomorrow. Then it would be Bryce Wilson on Wednesday. And then bullpen day, figure it out on Thursday, / call up a guy like Aaron Ashby for a day. Do you just have the bullpen go? That's all to be figured out. And then that's just assuming that Freddy Peralta would go on Friday. If Freddy goes on Friday against the Yankees, that would move Colin Ray to Saturday as opposed to Sunday, so he would get his 5 days. And then it would be, once again, Joe Ross on Sunday against the Yankees. So at least if there's a silver lining of this chaos of TBAs this week, you have arguably your three best arms going against the Yankees with Freddy, with Ray, and with Ross. Then the following week against the Rays, you're right back at this square one where it's like, okay, what do we do now? So maybe that would be Myers next Monday, or maybe you give him an extra day to have him. These are all things to be figured out because the Brewers don't have another off day until next Thursday, not this coming Thursday, next Thursday. So a tough little stretch here again. Then they'll go on 13 in a row one more time. They'll head down to Wrigley. Then they'll come. Then they'll go on the road to the Royals, who've been playing great baseball as of late. And then they come back home for the Cardinals and the Pirates. And then finally another off day. And then they'll start getting a lot more off days after that. So it's coming, but the bullpen's going to have to grin and bear it here for a little bit longer. And tomorrow we will find out how much Tobias Myers can provide. High ride, fastball, good slider, good changeup. I'm excited. If tomorrow is going to be his big league debut, I'd be fired up to see him. I had an interview with him. We chatted up with him in the clubhouse when he got called up on Wednesday. Obviously didn't get into the game, but that's over on my YouTube page, Dom Brewers WTMJ. I've also got a breakdown on Blake Perkins' defense up there right now as well. Brewers fall tonight by a 4-2 final. Just not much else to talk about. That game kind of stunk, let's be real. But back at it tomorrow, same time, same place, a 5:40 first pitch. Our coverage will begin at 5:05 right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us and our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.